Hello, Dale Partridge here. You're listening to an episode from the Real Christianity Archive. Veronica and I originally began this podcast under the name Ultimate Marriage as a resource for our online marriage mentor program found at ultimatemarriage.com. While our marriage program is still a critical part of our ministry, after about 30 episodes, we decided to change the name of this podcast to Real Christianity as a way to widen the scope of our biblical content. That said, these are some of our most popular episodes, so please enjoy and stay with us on the journey to bring the church back to the Bible. Welcome to Ultimate Marriage. Today, we are going to be talking about
how to confess, repent, and redeem sin in your marriage.
So, pretty important topic, I think. Mm-hmm. We are, you know, people who sin, and we need to understand how to confess that sin, repent that sin, and redeem that sin. And I don't think that, you know, these things are very common biblical topics, but I don't see the church talking about them that much. Confession is hard.
Yeah.
It's humiliating.
Right. Which is a good reason to not do it again.
Yes. So, and you know, repenting is hard. We know that repenting is defined as turning away from, means you've turned away from that lifestyle or that way of being. I think of, you know, that quote, apology or changed behavior is the best apology. And that's kind of the concept of repentance. It's changed behavior. And then redemption, just the whole redeeming of that process where you're getting back to square one, completely unified with your spouse again. And that's, again, a process that I think a lot of couples struggle with. You know, they might do it in verbal context, but they're actually not emotionally and spiritually unified again. A couple things, guys. One, if you're watching us on YouTube, would you guys subscribe to our YouTube channel? That'd be awesome. And if you're listening to this as a podcast, you can also watch it on YouTube. And one thing that really does help the exposure of the show, and this is actually part of iTunes algorithm, is leaving a review. We are currently the highest and most rated marriage podcast on iTunes, and it's because you guys have left reviews and the content is getting out and it's saving marriages. I can't tell you guys how many couples we've had write us and just tell us incredible stories. And I mean, Veronica gets emailed and wrote all the time. You know, what are you hearing from people?
Just how much of a blessing the show has been to them. You know, we're finally hearing what the Bible actually says instead of tiptoeing around scripture. And it's actually transformed their marriages.
Yeah. And so that's our hope and our mission is to help just bring, you know, ultimately help people build a biblical marriage. Mm-hmm. And so how do you build a biblical marriage in a broken world? And that's what we're here to do. So if you guys would be interested in just leaving a review, you don't even have to write a review. Just tap the stars in the iTunes app and that would be sufficient for us. You know, we had a really great, we had a really great marriage retreat. I want to talk about that. So we just got back from our marriage retreat.
Yeah. And if this happens to be your first time listening, we host a marriage retreat twice a year. So we just had one this past weekend and it was awesome.
Yeah. It's the Ultimate Marriage Retreat. We had 17 couples join us from all over the country and I guess out of the country too. We had some people from Canada come and, people from Atlanta and Illinois and Las Vegas and California. I mean, it was just everywhere.
Yeah, all over the place.
And guys, God showed up in a huge way. We had some massive spiritual breakthroughs. Mm-hmm. You know, men, you know, grown men breaking down in tears for just the spiritual change that's happening. And guys, just to be clear, this isn't a retreat for emergency crisis marriages.
Yeah, this was a retreat for marriages that are already typically pretty healthy and they just are needing an extra step to grow closer and connected.
Yeah. So to have a marriage or a man just break down in tears there, it's not necessarily because of, you know, of sin that's being, you know, redeemed. It's actually just for growth. Mm-hmm. And so we saw that families decided to have more children. We had mothers that said, we're going to go home and take our children out of the public school system and start homeschooling. Just so much big, giant decisions that were being made based off of the content that we talked about. We go very deep. And also, we have these really cool workbooks that people get a chance to go deep with each other. And they get to ask those hard questions that we don't get to ask that often. And a lot of people are just longing for scripture. They're longing for biblical community. They're homesick for that. And that was the general, I guess, trend that we saw there. And it really reminded, I think, Veronica and I, how powerful the truth is when it's delivered in love. Mm-hmm. And that's been, that's what we try to do here. I mean, some people, we've had some people write us, I like your podcast, but you're too harsh. You know, I think that is probably sent to every pastor on the planet at some point. you know, I'm constantly trying to make sure, okay, how do we deliver the truth in love? But we were blessed and greatly encouraged. And I think it just made us feel we're going to keep doing these for the rest of our lives. They're just so fruitful.
Yeah, it was so much fun. The venue was beautiful. It was nice, quaint, cozy.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in fall, and we got there seriously like at the peak of the most beautiful time of fall. All of the trees were like vibrant and red and yellow, and it was just gorgeous.
Yeah.
And the lodging was awesome. Everyone had their own little private cabin. With a little mini kitchen in it too. Mm-hmm. So that was really nice for some of the guests who had some food allergies or able to make their own food there. But the food was all paid for, provided with their...
If you guys are watching, I have a fly in our studio. It always happens, guys.
There's
it's a big
always
deal.
A fly, yep. And then the dinner hall, one of our nights was gorgeous. It was called the Great Hall, mm-hmm. In the venue. And it was like, I felt like I was in Beauty and the Beast, like in this just grand hall. I felt like there should be women twirling around in ballroom gowns. It was gorgeous.
It was so beautiful. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was just so awesome. And, we just had so many new relationships.
Yeah.
Right?
We had lots of fun. We made so many new friends, and it's so nice every time we do this because we get to meet people from all over the country or even the world. So last time we had somebody from Israel, this time we had two people from Canada or two couples from Canada. And so we get to meet people from all over the country, all over the world. And so it's nice to have that. Anytime we travel, we're like, hey, we know people here. Let's connect with them.
Yeah.
So that was really fun. And we just want to let you know, if you guys are interested in attending something like that, you can go ahead to one of the Ultimate Marriage retreats. You can go ahead and go to ultimatemarriage.com/retreat, and we would love to get to know you guys.
Yeah, just go ahead and apply there, and we'd love to have you guys at our next retreat. So let's go ahead and get started for today's conversation.
Yeah, so resentment and bitterness are the great destroyers of marriages today. And as you have listened to the show before, if you know of Dale and I, if you've heard of anything that we've shared before on marriage, you probably know that the first 2 years of our marriage were really, really hard. And we really struggled. And I especially really struggled of letting go of faults that Dale had caused in our marriage, even after he had apologized. Mm-hmm. I was quite mean.
She was a mean woman.
And angry and bitter. And I was like the queen of holding grudges. I would hold grudges for days at a time. And I think a scripture that's really important for us to remember in Hebrews 12:15, it says, "See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled." Mm-hmm. So a root of bitterness in first century Hebrew culture represents a poisonous plant. Mm-hmm. So actually what the author is saying is bitterness is poisonous to your soul.
It is. Yeah. And this is a really important concept to just like grasp on for a second, is that bitterness is designed to hurt you.
Yeah. And obviously if it's harmful to your soul, it's harmful to your marriage.
Yeah.
And it causes people to remain wounded, spiteful, angry, and when it grows, it can hurt a lot of people.
Yep.
So in my bitterness and my anger and my resentment towards you, I'm sure you can remember times that I caused pain and hurt to you.
Yeah. Yeah. It's literally drinking poison in your marriage, and it's super dangerous. And I can't tell you guys how many emails we get that are from ultimately aren't healing because of bitterness. A root of bitterness is in one of the spouses or both of the spouses. And so and behind that bitterness again is pride. It's forgetfulness of the forgiveness that's been given to us by Christ. There's so much behind it we want to unpack with you guys today. But it's serious. We got to start at the core of this whole thing, guys, is are we going to be Christian or not? Mm-hmm. Are we actually going to behave like Christians, not just believe like Christians, but behave like Christians so that we don't seem like hypocrites to our spouse, that we don't seem like hypocrites to people that are watching our marriages.
But hypocrites to our children.
Yeah, hypocrites to our children. But we're actually going to just walk out the biblical text as it says, as Christ desires us to walk it out. And so, you know, this scripture, you know, when you look at the I believe, you know, each passage of scripture has one intended meaning, and the author intended a certain meaning in that context. So I get that this, for you theologians that are listening, this passage of scripture is actually a reference to a church not allowing someone to fall away from the gospel and become bitter with the church and remain there, and it because it'll actually pull many away. It'll pull many away from the grace of Christ. But the principles of this concept are still the same. And I also believe that the affirmation of having not letting a root of bitterness is supported throughout the Old Testament, supported through the Proverbs, and obviously through the New Testament. So I think it's a great concept that we could talk about today. And there's some other scriptures that we're going to be mentioning as well. But the lesson really is this, that someone who has a root of bitterness growing within them affects everyone they come in contact with. It's not just like you could be bitter with somebody and then compartmentalize that bitterness towards just that person. I really do believe it affects everybody in all of your relationships.
Yeah, it comes out. It manifests.
Yeah. And what I mean is that any root bears fruit. So you guys got to remember that. Any root bears fruit. If you have a root of joy, it's going to bear joyful fruit. If you have a root of bitterness, it's going to bear this root of frustration.
Contention.
Yeah. And people feel it. They can feel it. Mm-hmm. And
you can tell when somebody's bitter, especially in their marriage. When they're talking about their husband or their spouse, they've got like these little subtle jokes that they call, but you can tell that there's not a joke. You can tell there's something there that they're bitter about.
Yeah, and we see it all the time with couples that bicker. Guys, if you bicker, stop it. It's unbiblical. It's not what the Lord wants for you. Christ and his church don't bicker back and forth at each other. And so stop the bickering. I mean, it's something that we need to recognize. It's small, but it's still sinful. And, you need to work at that. If it's something that you've kind of just allowed to be in your marriage, don't let that happen. And the bitterness, again, any root bears fruit, and you're feeding that poisonous fruit to your spouse and to your children and to everybody that comes in contact with you. You're feeding that poisonous fruit. Like that's what you're doing when you allow a bitter root to take form and take growth. When it becomes full grown, it's just, and you know what? There's, you know, John Bevere wrote a book called The Bait of Satan. And it's about the concept of being offended. Mm. And the church, the world is so easily offended. But the church, man, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 talks about love is not easily offended. We believe all things, we hope all things. And so bitterness, offense, woundedness, spitefulness, anger, all these things are really important and they're destroyers of marriage. And it's why couples have to figure out how to confess, repent, and redeem sinful moments within their marriage. And that's, you know, again, the big conversation we're going to talk about today.
Yeah. So we're going to be pulling a few scriptures today, and I'm going to go ahead and read them for us.
Yep.
So James 5:16, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And then the next scripture is going to be Matthew 5:23-24. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last one we're going to be going over is going to be Matthew 6:14-15. For if you forgive men of their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses.
Okay, these are like this content we're about to talk about. It's not like allegorical, suggestive scripture. This is doctrine of the faith. I'm going to break down these three scriptures for you guys and kind of concept. Veronica's going to add some points here as we talk too. But, you know, James 5:16, the first one, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So first off, you know, number one is healing comes through confession and prayer. We have to recognize that. You know, I've been doing the church thing in terms of being in a church community for what, 14 years about now. And I haven't seen a lot of confession. Not a lot of people have come and confessed sins to me. Mm. And to be honest, for a long time, I really struggled confessing when I had faults to other people as well. I don't think it's a very common practice in the church today. And it's sad. And if it's not common in just relationships, it's probably not common in your marriage. And so the entire purpose of confession is reconciliation and to be unified again as one body in terms of the members of the body of Christ, but also one body, one flesh with your spouse. That's the purpose of confession, is the beginning to be reconciled so that you could become unified again. You're not going to be able to be unified if you're have sin. We always say that, you know, if you're a marriage, there's no shadows. Mm-hmm. You need to live a life that has no shadows. You want to make sure that all those things are brought into the light. And so the second thing is confession is a humble act. It's where we get the word humiliation, humble and humiliation. And humiliation is an incredible teacher because it's super awkward.
And you never want to experience it again.
No,
it's uncomfortable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if you've ever confessed something, it hurts. And the Lord designed it to not feel good so that we would use it as a way to recognize, okay, let's stay away from that. Let's walk righteously. Mm-hmm. But it's a powerful thing. If I confess something to you, that I've done, how does it make you feel?
If you've sinned against me, well, I guess a sin in general, it hurts.
Well, but how does it feel when I confess? Like, do you trust me more or less?
Oh yeah, I absolutely trust you more.
Yeah. And so
because I trust in the future that if you were to mess up again or sin, that you would come to me, instead of hiding it.
Yeah. And sometimes confession doesn't come in the way of like, I've been hiding this thing from you, but it's something like, hey, I shouldn't have behaved that way. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. That the way I was behaving is unacceptable. It was sinful and I'm not going to do it again. And that confession of that behavior, that's the process there. And, you know, when you're married, you know, when we talk about confession, who's your accountability partner?
Your spouse.
Your spouse is. Mm-hmm. It's not, you know, your buddy that, you know, at your church group. No, when you're married, your accountability partner is your spouse. So there should be a lot of confession going on, back and forth with your spouse. And confession can mean I'm sorry, or it could also mean you already apologized and I'm still mad and I'm sorry for that and I'm working on getting past my bitterness. Mm-hmm. One thing I want to mention about this passage of scripture that's really important, it says, you know, James says to confess to one another and pray for one another that you might be healed. Confess to who the faults are made. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm going to talk about this concept of us confessing to everybody else except the person that we actually sinned against, which is a very common practice in the church today, here in the next passage. But it mentions at the end of that passage that the effective and fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And I want you to pay attention to that word righteous. I think what that scripture is talking about is that if you've sinned, don't go tell your gross sin to someone else who struggles with that same sin.
Yeah.
go and confess that sin, one, to the person you've sinned against, but two, maybe to somebody who doesn't struggle with that sin, who has conquered that sin, because it's actually even more humbling when you go, let's just say it's pornography. You don't go and confess that sin to the brother or that also struggles with porn, that they can go, you know, oh, me too, man, I understand.
And that's as far as you get.
Yeah, that's as far as you get.
It's just like, oh, okay, I got it off my chest.
Yeah, you want to confess that to the righteous man, who doesn't struggle with that, that can actually doesn't have a log in his eye. It can actually bring correction, rebuke, exhortation to redeem that, put you back on a correct path,
and also to your spouse,
and also to your spouse if you're married. Mm-hmm. If you're not married, then yeah, you get to do that to a righteous man. So
Yeah, like speaking of this, yeah, just last weekend, I actually had to confess something to Dale and ask for forgiveness. And it's never easy to do that. It's extremely humbling to do it because my marriage is more important than my pride. And I need to remember that.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's super uncomfortable and it's awkward, but I have to remember that keeping sin in hiding from your spouse, especially if you sinned against your spouse, is dangerous.
Hey everyone, thanks for listening to this episode. We wanted to quickly tell you about our 1-year online marriage mentor program.
Yeah, Dale and I designed a powerful biblical curriculum with 12 themes, one for each month. Every 30 days, Dale and I will teach a live 90-minute lesson on that month's theme and also provide a weekly challenge PDF to incorporate those teachings directly into your marriage.
Yeah, so it's an incredible program where we cover everything from sex and money to children and roles, but more than that, it's also an incredible community. And you'll have access to our private Facebook group and the Ultimate Marriage text message line, where Veronica and I can send you weekly encouragements and wisdom straight to your phone. But the catch is this: we only open registration for a few weeks per year, 2 times per year. So if you're interested in building an awesome marriage, then sign up to be notified about our next enrollment period at ultimatemarriage.com. Now let's get back to the show. Yeah, and it's also just like, you know, let's just say that she wounded me. That reconciliation can't happen generally, one, until the confession that it happened, you know, the repentance that it occurred, you know, that she's not going to do it anymore. We sound like Veronica's this like worst wife ever. And then, and then just the forgiveness so that it brings on the redemption of that process, which is, you know, what we'll talk about. And guys, trust me, there's been times on the other end where I'm the one that's confessing. So,
yeah. And I think for me, I think I've mentioned this probably in another podcast before where, yeah, I can easily just feel like, oh, I like in my head, you know, I sinned and I should, okay, I just won't do it again next time, which, yeah. What's the change behavior quote that you say?
Oh, change behavior is the best apology.
Right. So yeah, I'm sorry for my sin and I'll change it. But for me, actually acknowledging it, voicing it, in humility and feeling the weight of my sin that way, especially to the person that I sinned against. Yeah, it makes me not ever want to do that again.
Yeah. And I say this, guys, if you guys or girls, if you're having like reoccurring sin, if something happens one time and it's a sin that's, you know, like, you know, I'm trying to think of an example. You got angry, but you never get angry, you know, and you've confessed and repented to God, and you might have repented to your wife or confessed to your wife or whatever it might be. I think confession is a really helpful tool for that repetitive sin that you can't seem to stop doing. Mm-hmm. If you're a liar, confessing that I exaggerated there. I shouldn't have done that. I've had seasons of that where I'm a salesman. And so I've really struggled with that in terms of just admitting that and confessing. It really helps me be embarrassed and humiliated, and it helps me grow. I know that it might seem overwhelming to go and confess every element to every person, but I think it is really helpful for these repetitive sins in our lives that we can't seem to conquer on our own. And I think that's what the Lord put that passage of scripture in there.
Yeah. And I think after you've confessed that, Dale and I've talked about it in our other podcast before about fighting and forgiving, is that Dale and I never end a disagreement without praying together. Mm-hmm. It's the actual act that unifies us again.
Yeah. And so this is part of the redemption process. If you guys fight or have a heated discussion, if it's a small tiff where we don't necessarily will always go and pray together for that. Mm-hmm. But if it's like, you know, we got an argument, we had to sit down and talk about it and discussion, and it was deeper, like, you know, there's some hurt involved, maybe some tears involved. If that happens, yeah, we end that always with prayer. Mm-hmm. And that's important, which we talked about in one of the other episodes, a few episodes back. Number two, which is talking about that second passage of scripture in Matthew, it's Jesus talking, and he says, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there, you know, when you're bringing it, if your brother, you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and then go your way. But first be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift to God. So, you know, couples, if you've sinned against your spouse, Again, this is using Old Testament language. You know, Jesus is talking about the Old Testament language of sacrifices at the altar. But I think the principle is still pretty powerful. Mm-hmm. But if you sin against your spouse, don't go confess your sin to your friend. Go confess it to your spouse. The church is filled with this, I think, a lot of Christians that are desperate to escape the ownership of their faults by confessing their sins to everyone except the person that they sinned against. And so this happens totally in the pornography space for men. Mm-hmm. As we mentioned earlier, is that guys are just confessing their sins to
other guys that struggle with it.
And mm-hmm. nobody ever gets any better because everybody's got logs in their eyes and nobody has the ability to actually have authoritative conviction and change. Mm-hmm. And they're really looking for this kind of condemnation-free, pain-free, humiliation-free, costless acceptance of their trespasses. That's what you do when you confess. And we get this actually all the time. People will email us. I'm like, we have no relationship with these people. And they will email us their life story, their trials, their problems. And they go, I can't find anybody to help me. And so they turn to strangers on the internet, you know, and want to have us help them. And I go, it's pretty interesting that one, we have no geographical connection with these people, and they want to be, they don't want to be held responsible by anybody that knows them. Mm-hmm. They want to be, it's safe to be known to strangers. And so I think that's a pretty common trend that's happening. And it's it's that type of kind of consequence-free confession that leaves so many men and women in bondage to sin, because we're not actually just confessing to the people that we're sinning against. And so I want to remind us that, you know, confession on the other end requires grace and mercy and compassion, and we need to have that with people, but not from a stranger. It requires it from the person who is actually sinned against. And you know, humiliation and shame are actually really important God-given elements for spiritual growth. And God designed us to cause those to be painful so that we would grow from them. And so confession, while it's hard, repentance, while it's hard, humiliation, all those things are hard, but they're really good for us mm-hmm. if we're actually trying to grow and be sanctified. Next time somebody comes up to you and wants to confess the sin they committed against their spouse or against their mom or against their friend, do the loving thing and tell them, okay, well, thank you for sharing that with me, but I'd like you to go and why don't you tell that to the person that you sinned against and point them back. As Jesus said, go do that and then go repent to God, mm-hmm. which is just an interesting concept. Be reconciled first with the person and then go talk to God.
Yeah, it's not saying that God won't forgive you unless you repent to the person you sinned against, but it's giving us a principle that will help us restore unity within our marriage.
Yeah, and that's the whole point, right? Is that we're unifying again. Mm-hmm. It's that if you just repent to God for the sin that you committed against your spouse, but you don't confess and repent to your spouse, you don't get that unity. And sure, time can just kind of make things pass.
Confess to the person that you sinned against, you feel the weight of it more.
You do. Yeah. And it's a really important, it's a really important moment. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, hopefully it happens less and less as you guys grow as a couple, but it's really important to do that. The third passage that is there, Matthew 6:14-15, Veronica read it earlier. I'm going to read it again because it's one of the scariest scriptures in the Bible. It says, mm-hmm. "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." So I'm going to read John Gill. He's a theologian from the 18th century, which I always get those confused because 18th century means that they lived in the 1700s. It's so weird. Anyways. But John Gill, he's a theologian. He has lots of commentaries on the Bible. But I looked up his commentary on this today, and I'm going to read it because it's just better than what I would be able to say. Off that passage about Jesus saying, hey, you better forgive people because if you don't, your Father in heaven won't forgive you. And I always ask the question, how many unforgiven people are in heaven? Zero. None. Yeah, none. So John Gill says, it is a plain case that your Father has not given you a true sense of the pardon of your sins, nor can you be certain that he will, nor have you any reason to expect it when you are so cruel and revengeful to others. There is a considerable emphasis which lies upon the word men, to which Heavenly Father is contrasted. And the sense, according to it, is that if men who were upon an equal foot with each other should not forgive one another, how should it be expected that our Father, which is in heaven, who is so much above and no ways obliged to us, should forgive us? And so John Gill's saying this concept of we need to remember how much we're forgiven when someone sins against us. We have been wiped free of like $1 billion worth of debt. You know, there's parables about this. And then we're struggling because someone sinned against us and owes us a little bit of money. And so we need to be, it's hard. There's nothing harder than forgiving someone when you're wounded. But if you want to receive the forgiveness from God the Father through Christ, you don't get to hold a grudge. Mm-hmm. It's very dangerous spiritual activity in your marriage and just in your Christian life.
Yeah, redemption in marriage requires forgiveness.
It does. And so we just want to encourage you guys that be biblical, walk these things out, confess, repent, and redeem through forgiveness. And this is a really easy solution. If you want an awesome marriage, that's the answer in terms of just the damage control element of it all. So anyways, that's what we'll end with that section. Hopefully that was helpful for you guys. And we'll go into it. We have a question that we're going to answer.
Alrighty. Yes. If you listen to our show regularly, you know that we answer 1 to 2 questions every week. This week we've got one, and I will read it to you. I recently left my husband of 4 years due to extreme verbal and emotional abuse. I still want to work on the marriage, but he has made no effort to get help or reconcile. Was it wrong for me to leave in the first place? And when I go back, what is my biblical role in the marriage with an abusive husband? He has never hurt me physically. I have been enjoying the podcast, but find it difficult to know exactly how it applies to my situation. Thank you.
You got any thoughts?
I'll let you take this one.
Okay. I have a couple notes here. I'm sorry that you're even going through this.
And we can only go off of what you've sent in. We don't know the situation exactly.
And when we're in marriage ministry, we witness a lot of hard cases. We get a lot of emails from just sad stories that are sent to us. And so if we want to do the biblical thing, and that's what this woman asked is the biblical thing. What's the biblical thing here? And so what I'm going to say is 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. I'm just going to give you what the scriptures say, because I don't want to have an opinion on this. I just want to let you know what the Bible says. It says, now to the married. Now this is talking to Christians. He's talking about married Christians. That's what Paul's writing to in this chapter and verse. Now to the married, I command, yet not I, but the Lord. And what Paul is saying is that I'm about to talk about the principles that Jesus laid out in Matthew 19. And so he's saying, I'm not giving you new commands right now. I'm actually just going to tell you what Jesus said, but he's going to write it in 1 Corinthians. And he says, a wife is not to depart from her husband, but even if she does depart, like this woman did, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. And a husband is not to divorce his wife. Now, I'm taking in consideration that this is a husband who says he's a Christian. So if that's not the case, then there's a different perspective on this. But if this is a husband and wife that are both Christian, struggling, falling into sin and temptation, struggling, that's the scripture that is clear on what not to do and what to do. It continues in verse 13 and 14. And it says, and a woman, so this is if a woman who has a husband who's not a believer, says, and a woman who has a husband who does not believe, if he is willing to live with her, let her not divorce him. And so it sounds like you guys are separated. So if he's not a believer, the command is to stay with him if he'll have you.
If he's willing to, yeah.
Yeah. And it says in verse 14, for the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. It goes in verse 15. It says, but if the unbeliever departs, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases. My interpretation of that is that you're not under bondage to the marriage vows any longer if you were in a marriage with an unbeliever and they have decided to leave and divorce you. And it says, but God has called us to peace. And so when I hear that you're in, you know, I'm glad that you clarified the abusive relationship thing.
That it was verbal abuse and not physical.
Yeah.
Is that what you mean?
Yeah. Because mm-hmm. what do we see all the time? Just people that...
They just, everybody all just says abuse and they kind of all categorize it under one thing, but there are different types of abuse. So...
Yeah. And we've kind of stretched that word, right? So any argument that you start yelling at each other, all of a sudden I'm in an abusive relationship. Mm-hmm. And I go, well, you know, if you're in marriage, at some point you're going to be yelling at each other. I don't know if I want to throw everything under abuse. Mm-hmm. It could just be that you had an intense argument.
Yeah. And there are real such cases as abuse.
But, yes.
But yeah, I think the word has been thrown around a little bit too much for sure.
Yeah. And so abuse is like all the way from like,
he told me to shut up, I'm in an abusive relationship.
Yeah. All the way to, you know, he hit me across the face, which is in reality an abusive relationship. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I love that you brought clarity to that, that this is a verbally abusive situation. There was no physical hitting. And the core thing here is that God has called us to peace. And if you can't live in peace, then I think that's justification or grounds for separation for a time. And, you know, the scripture in the same chapter, I don't have it in front of me, talks about like, just don't deprive each other, deprive one another sexually, because, you know, that opens the temptation of the devil. So know that separation is good in some ways, or helpful in some ways while repairing the marriage, but it is also very dangerous in other ways being sexually apart, as a couple. I don't know. What do you say to women who were maybe in a situation like this that are trying to figure out, you know, when do I come back? You know, did I do the right thing? Like, you know, as a, you know, what would you be doing in that situation? You know, would you be seeking out the word? Would you be praying? Like,
yeah, I mean, absolutely. Definitely praying, definitely seeking out the word. And if this person was already, not under the same roof as their spouse, I would be still in constant communication with my spouse, trying to reconcile.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And surrounding yourself
with other godly, women.
Yeah.
And mentors to help walk you through this trial.
Yeah. Cause you don't want to keep this as a private matter, you know.
No, not at all.
Proverbs 18:1 says a man, and that's a person, person who isolates himself,
seeks his own desire.
Mm-hmm. And so don't keep this stuff private. Bring it out in the open. Pull that ugly, dark thing out into the light. And if you want to get that thing healed, just, yeah, it's embarrassing. You know, hey, our life isn't all good right now. And we're a little bit embarrassed and this is not fun. But if you are...
I would rather be embarrassed and have my marriage saved than try and prevent the embarrassment and humility and everything ends up going down the drain.
Yeah. And I think that's a lot of people's demise. They are so concerned about what other people think of them that they will literally, not talk about it just to save face, you know? And it's so sad, especially in social media. Now, you don't need to have it as a public thing, but just bringing two or three trusted, safe people. And if you don't have that, then you do what everybody else does is you get a counselor. I mean, which is fine if that's all you got. But I would also just make it known in your own community, let your parents know if they're involved, let your best friends know if you're involved. So hopefully that was helpful for you guys. I feel like today's a little bit of a downer show. It's just like hard, heavy stuff, but, it's important. We want you guys to have a marriage that can heal itself.
Yeah. So our memory verse this week, James 5:16, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much.
Yeah, guys, there's over 100 one another's in the New Testament. It's what in theology we'd call them the mutual pastoral mandates. I love that he didn't say, go confess it to an elder or go confess it to a priest. It's to one another. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's powerful. And so I know a lot of people are longing for biblical community, a place where they can actually fulfill those one another's and others are fulfilling them in their life. It starts with just living it out mm-hmm. and praying for it. And so I just want you guys to encourage you guys to memorize that passage of scripture, walk that passage of scripture out. If there's a moment of confession, do it. See what kind of fruit comes from it. On that note, a couple closing announcements is, again, if you guys would be willing to leave a review for us, that would be great on the podcast. And also, if you want to listen to the show, watch the video, get all the show notes. I take all of the quotes, I think. You know, it's weird quoting ourselves. But
The one-liners,
yeah. And I put them in there, and all the scriptures that we reference, they're all available for you. This is episode number 14, and you just go to ultimatemarriage.com. You just go to the menu and then just go to podcasts, and you'll be able to find it there. And all of our podcasts are there, and they're easy to share with people if somebody needs a resource to help grow their marriage. Anything else?
I think that's it.
Okay.
Memorize that scripture.
All right, guys. We will see you guys next week on Ultimate Marriage. Take care.
See you
later.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Ultimate Marriage. If you're homesick for a stronger marriage, visit our website at ultimatemarriage.com and consider enrolling in our one-year online marriage mentor program. Also, if you're interested in learning more about building a better marriage, follow Veronica and I on social media, where each week we share tips, tricks, and lessons on building a biblical marriage.